to Tuned to Yesterday, featuring programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, delivering an hour of drama. Later on, a relatively rare broadcast of City Hospital. But first, it's the first nighter program from March 4th, 1948 on CBS. The story called An Order by the Lieutenant.
Campana's first nighter program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Barbara Luddy and Owen Soule with an all-star cast presented by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. Theater time on Broadway. And tonight is a special occasion in Theaterland, for a brand new play makes its opening night bow to the public and drama critics at the little theater off Times Square. Yes, an opening night on the Great White Way is the kind of exciting experience that you'll never forget. So let me promptly introduce our host for the evening, the genial first nighter.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's very pleasant to have you with us this evening. I know the traffic will be heavy, so I suggest we start right off for the theater. My cab is waiting. Won't you step in? All right, driver, the little theater. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street. And there ahead of the bright lights across the facade of the little theater off Times Square. I can see the newsreel cameras on trucks recording the event. We'll be there in a minute. Well, here we are.
I say, old top, isn't that Susan?
But that famous banker, what's his name? Where is my autograph?
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, all comfortably seated in the seventh row center. And as usual, on an opening night, the house is a sellout. Also, there's Frank Worth conducting the famous First Nighter Orchestra. Tonight's new play is entitled An Order by the Lieutenant, written by Vernon C. Hoyt and co-starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule. The story takes us back to the fall of 1866, and the setting is Fort Riley, Kansas. Miss Luddy is cast as Nancy Colfax, a determined, courageous, and beautiful young lady. Mr. Soule is an eager young lieutenant, Gordon Singleton. And I see that we have a stellar supporting cast tonight. Polly Bear is Sergeant Freely, Hugh Studebaker is Colonel Willingham, Arthur Q. Bryan is Private Dabbs, and other famous names. And now it's just about time for the house lights to dim.
Curtain, first curtain.
There's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
In? Well, Sergeant Freely, you're around early for a frosty morning. What's been chasing you? Indians?
No, sir, it's the colonel. He said for you to come to his headquarters at once.
Be with you as soon as I slide into my boots.
You better hustle, sir. The colonel seemed excited.
Yes, he's the most excitable colonel in Fort Riley. What is it this time? More Indian trouble?
Well, there is some of that, but...
Oh, here. Help me in my coat, Freely.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Thank you. Now, let's go. Oh, I hear that Captain Brown's company is leaving for the Solomon River country in the morning.
He's got a lot on his mind to be prowling around after Indians right now.
Oh? What's up with the captain?
His wife had her baby last night.
So?
She's doing right poorly, sir, her and the little one.
Oh, too bad.
Yes, sir, mighty too bad. You know, I think the captain ought to stay home this time and look after...
He can't permit a woman to keep him from his duty. Even if she is his wife.
Yeah, but maybe she
army
might not...
men should think of those things, really, before they get married.
Well, how'd he
no
know that
army
he...
man should allow a woman to lead the sort of life we do on a frontier post. There's no place for women here.
Gosh, Lieutenant, I didn't know you were so sought again women.
Hey, sir. As a soldier, I am.
Now, that's queer. I thought you went back to Memphis on leave last month, specially to see about...
I changed my mind about that.
Why, didn't you fancy living here?
That's the trouble. Miss Colfax did fancy living here.
Oh.
But that's all over now. She understands now that she isn't cut out to be an army officer's wife. Some women just aren't. Good morning, Colonel Willingham.
Morning, Singleton. Morning, Freely.
Yeah, morning, sir.
Glad to see you came so quickly. Go right into my office, Singleton. I'll join you. We'll see the sergeant in a moment.
Certainly, sir.
Sergeant, I want you to go to my quarters and tell me...
Oh, I beg your pardon. I did... Nancy Colfax.
Good morning, Lieutenant Singleton.
What on earth are you doing here? You can't stay. I told you in Memphis it was impossible.
Must I leave so soon? I'd rather expected a warmer greeting. After all, I've only been here an hour, and it was a rather difficult journey. The river steamer from Memphis to Kansas City, and that bouncing stagecoach to Riley, Kansas, and you.
Well, I don't understand. I thought...
You thought that the Colfaxes had ceased to go after what they want?
Yes. I mean, no.
Your indecision is most confusing, Gordon.
Well, does the colonel know? Did you tell him that we were...
Oh, he still thinks we are. You see, I've been here an hour. I thought it more proper to meet you here at your headquarters.
Now, look, Nancy. Miss Colfax. This isn't any kind of life.
We've been all over that, and I've simply decided that it is my kind of life, with you. I don't have any trouble with my decisions, Gordon.
Miss Colfax, ladies don't... They don't... Well, they just don't talk that way. It's not ladylike. It's not...
It's surely not a quarrel. Not already.
Not at all, Colonel. Lieutenant Singleton, Gordon,
we're
just saying that it's not like an officer to keep a lady waiting.
My apologies, Miss Colfax. My most humble apologies. But I thought you two would like the first few moments alone.
That was thoughtful of you, Colonel.
Yes, very kind of you, sir.
Quite a surprise, isn't it, Singleton? Quite a surprise. Well, in the military, we set huge stock by the element of surprise. Singleton?
Yes, sir. We do, sir.
Yes. Miss Colfax, I've sent Sergeant Freely to my quarters to inform Mrs. Willingham that we'll have a guest for a few days until the arrangements have been completed.
Arrangements?
Yes.
What arrangements?
What? Well, for the marriage, of course. Can't just get married like that. Have put on a real military wedding. Sure, all the trimmings. Very good for the morale of the post. Now, Singleton, escort Miss Colfax to my quarters. Mrs. Willingham is expecting her. Singleton?
Yes, sir. The arrangements.
Yeah. Now, Lieutenant, of course, Mrs. Willingham and myself and Miss Colfax... We'll be expecting you for dinner tonight at my quarters.
It was thoughtful of the Colonel and his wife to suggest this after-dinner walk. I need a walk after that meal. Oh, and isn't the night just perfect?
It's all right.
It's such a beautiful post in the moonlight.
I suppose so.
You're not very talkative, Gordon.
Look, Nancy, it's just no good. Now, you must go back to Memphis.
Oh, but I'm not going. Except perhaps on our next leave. We can go together.
Nancy, for the last time, this is no life for a woman. I couldn't ask
you... Are those the stables?
Yes. Army life is hard, Nancy. An officer is... Well, he's on duty 24 hours a day. He just can't have any home.
What are those little wagons that look like miniature prairie schooners?
Mess wagons. The troops take them along on marches. Nancy, it's an uncertain life. You may be all right today, and then...
There seem to be a lot of soldiers around the stables.
They're getting ready to leave on a mission tomorrow morning. Indian trouble. That's what I mean, Nancy. No security for a wife. An army officer has to give all his time, his life, to the army.
The Colonel and Mrs. Willingham seem quite happy. Their quarters are so nice and home-like with... All her lace curtains and etched glassware.
Well, he's a colonel. Lieutenants are different.
A lot of men seem to be going on that Indian mission.
It's all of Company K. Poor Brownie.
Who?
Captain Brown, Company K's commanding officer. His wife had her baby this morning. She's not doing it all well. Now the captain has to go away.
Poor thing. Perhaps Mrs. Willingham will take me to call on her.
Nancy, a woman doesn't have a chance in this country. We're sitting on the edge of nothing. You count dust storms, the heat and cold, and the Indians, nothing. I just couldn't ask you to share this kind of life.
I'm not at all worried about me.
It'd be like a sentence. A life sentence at hard labor with bad food. Bad living quarters. Always moving around to new posts.
Oh, you darling. Gordon, the Colfax women have never been afraid of anything so long as they could be with the men they love.
Oh, I'm afraid you'd hate me within a year.
Do you suppose that Mrs. Brown hates the captain?
Certainly not, but she may not live long enough to hate anyone. Now, Nancy... We're going back to the colonel's quarters.
Why? What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. I've got to see the colonel about an important matter.
About Captain Brown?
Yes. I want to ask the colonel to let me go in his place.
Yes, I think I understand.
And Nancy, it'll give you a chance to go home without any unpleasantness. You can and tell the colonel that you just don't think you're cut out to be an army officer's wife.
Gordon, are you trying to run away from me?
No, not at all. It's just a military duty. I've got to do it. You see what I mean, Nancy? Anxiety for you, long, lonesome days. Well, you might be a widow tomorrow night. That is, if we were married.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of the night's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs only, see? Smoking in the outer lobby.
And now, during the intermission, let me introduce you to a timely message.
Mother, wait for me.
Come along, dear, out of the crowd.
Well, we made it. What a jam.
Darling, you look very lovely tonight.
Well, thanks. But speaking of pretty people, Mums, you look gorgeous.
Oh, you're a flatterer.
Now, that's a stunning dress. I've never seen you look so young. Your skin, it's like you were 21. Creamy smooth. Say, have you been doing something to your makeup?
I wondered if you'd notice. I rather like it. Do you?
Like it? Why, it's magic.
Yes, it is magic. I borrowed some of your magic touch.
Why, you brazen person. And recently when I offered you magic touch, you said...
I know. I was 48, and I just have to look my age.
But didn't I tell you, Mother, what a divine complexion you can have with magic touch?
You did, darling. You said I'd never know how pretty I could be until I tried it.
And that's the truth, ladies. Magic touch is an entirely different creation from any makeup you've ever used. Magic touch is Campana's new cream makeup in a wafer-thin compact.
Snyders are hurrying down the aisles to their seats, and here's the second act of an order by the lieutenant.
The company's form, Lieutenant, sir.
You've checked all equipment, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Personal equipment, ammunition, mess supplies, all in order. I put Private Dabbs in charge of the mess wagon. You can depend on Dabs where food's concerned.
That's right, Freely. Be careful with the mess. An army travels on its stomach, you know.
Yes, sir. When you're stalking Indians, you get powerful hungry. That's why I put Dabs in charge.
Oh, good morning, Colonel.
Morning, Singleton. Everything in readiness?
Yes, we're ready, sir. Our scouts left 2 hours ago.
Good. Well, you have your orders. From reports I have, you'll probably meet up with those Redskins on your second day's march. They're that close, blast them. Seem to be getting more brazen every day.
I know, sir. I have their recently reported positions marked on my map.
Oh, excellent, excellent. I needn't remind you to be alert, Singleton.
No, sir.
After all, there's a girl waiting here for you. Singleton, I still can't understand why you requested this duty. But I guess that's your business, isn't it? You're fit for the job. Fit for the job. So, good luck.
Thank you, sir. Bugler? Well, she might have come down to see me off, but maybe it's better she didn't.
Didn't hear you, Lieutenant.
I didn't say anything.
I'd have swore you did, sir. That's the third time this afternoon I thought I did. You all right, Lieutenant?
Oh, yes. I'm fine. We'll camp here tonight, really?
Yes, sir.
What did that scout report to you?
He said he left his party a couple hours ago. Up to then, he said the prairie was as empty as a soldier's promise to a girl.
Well, in that case, post your picket, Sergeant. Caution them to keep a sharp lookout, although I don't think we'll meet up with any trouble on our first night out.
First, second, they all look the same in this prairie country. Nothing but buffalo grass and sunflowers.
Yes, doesn't look like much now, Freely. But they may even try to grow things here someday. Cattle, maybe. Or grain.
Wouldn't surprise me none if they tried to give it back to the Indians once we get them run off.
I'll see about the pickets, really. And see that they're alert, that nothing surprises us. The element of surprise is a tactic the Indians have mastered, too.
Yes, sir. Speaking of surprises, sir, Private Dabbs swears there's one in the mess wagon that's been making his life miserable all day. Claims every piece of meat he's tried to eat today gets swiped off in the seat when he's driving.
Serves him right for eating between meals. See that he stops it.
Yes, sir, Lieutenant. Yes, sir. Nice fella. Too bad his uniform's too new.
Have a good night, Sergeant.
Middling, sir. Just middling.
So?
Yes, sir. Just middling. Didn't dream about women last night, and that worries me. Still having trouble with them spooks grabbing your chow, Dabs?
That ain't no joking matter, Sergeant. Turned if it didn't happen again not 10 minutes ago.
Well, I ain't surprised. You're hitting them buffalo wallers too hard and you can't help it. You ain't even got the reins in your hand.
Of course not. I got them reins wound around the whip socket. Keeping my hands free to grab whoever's a-plaguing me.
Yeah, the lieutenant said to lay off eating so much. See you later.
Yeah, go on blab to the Louie. Sergeants is all alike. Hey! There, you dirty redskin, I got you.
My skin is not red.
Oh.
Anyway, not till you started pommeling me.
Gee, humping Jehoshaphat. It's a woman. It's the lieutenant's miss.
Quite right, Miss Nancy Colfax, if you prefer introductions.
I shouldn't have hit you, ma'am. I just...
Oh, that's all right, Debs. Oh, my goodness. Although, I'm bruised enough already just riding in this horrible cart. And I practically suffocated under that canvas.
Well, here, ma'am, allow me to present you with this piece of meat you almost swiped. Took a minute ago.
Thank you, Dabs, thank you. I am starved.
Does the lieutenant know?
He most certainly does not know. But I'm sure we're far enough away from Fort Riley so he might be informed.
By me?
Certainly.
Well, now, ma'am, I likes the ladies as well as anybody. I don't mind doing them a favor. But I ain't gonna risk being skinned alive with the lieutenant telling him you're here.
Will he be very angry?
Angry? He'll be plumb... flabberdoodled.
My goodness. That? Yep. Nevertheless, call him here. It's time he knew. If you don't want, I'll call him.
Oh, no, don't do that. You'll have every blamed man-jack in the company here. I'll get him, but don't blame me for what happens. Lieutenant! Lieutenant Singleton!
Yes, Dabs, what is it? Great heavens, Nancy.
Good afternoon, what? Lieutenant.
Dabs? Pull your wagon out of the column.
Yes, sir. Here. Whoa, darn you. Stop.
Now then, what's the meaning of this outrage? Have you lost your mind? Don't you know we're in dangerous territory? That you might get hurt?
If you'll ask your questions one at a time, Lieutenant, I might answer them.
Well, this is against all regulations. Don't you realize, Nancy, what the men will think? Why did you do it?
All right, I'll answer that one. I did it to show you that I can take army life just as well as you can. The very worst part of it, the campaigning.
But, Nancy, women don't campaign.
No? What do you think I'm doing? Element of surprise and all.
Well, I've got to send you back.
Perhaps I did it because I love you.
Well, I've...
Lieutenant, the scout, you... Miss Colfax. Well, I'll
That's
be...
enough of that, Sergeant.
Yes.
What about the scouts?
Well, they've reported seeing a fair-sized patrol of them red critters. And our scouts thinks the Indians knows our location. Also found a wagon train there. Remains of one.
Well, then we must intercept that patrol. They get back to the main tribe and report our position. Sergeant, get me 12 men at once.
Yes, sir.
You'll take over the company while I'm gone.
Oh, but I thought you'd want me to take out the patrol.
You heard my order.
Yes, sir.
And while I'm gone, have the company prepare a defense position.
Well, how about the grove by the bend in the river about a mile ahead? We know they're south of the river.
Yes, it does look like a place they might likely cross the river, but... I believe our position would be stronger in this cottonwood grove here at our right. It can be defended from all sides.
Yes, sir. If they cross at the grove by the river bend, they'll be in the open all the way to this grove.
Right. All right. Organize the patrol.
Take me, Lieutenant.
Very well, Dabs, if you wish to go. Oh, and, Sergeant, place Miss Colfax under arrest.
Yes.
What does that mean, Gordon? Lieutenant.
It means a lot of things. First, you can't leave camp.
But I don't want to leave camp.
Ain't we taking a lot of chances, Lieutenant, riding out here in the open?
We have to take chances, Dabs, if we're to locate those rascals.
This country don't look good to me.
Yes, it's Indian country, all right, if that's what you mean.
That's what I mean. Look, Lieutenant, coming over the hill. 12 of them.
Then they didn't get back to the main body. Watch it, Dabs. Into the draw, Dabs.
Yes, sir.
Into the draw, man. Quick!
go.
Did you hit, sir? I think so, but I can hang on till we get to the draw.
And that's all. After we beat them off, the lieutenant was plumb out. We tied him on his horse and brought him back here. It was getting dark fast, so we was able to ride right along.
He's got a bad hit, all right. Here's another wet cloth, ma'am.
Thank you. He seems awfully feverish.
Now, don't you worry none, Miss Colfax. He's a good soldier. He'll make it.
I know he will. I'll make him. There, darling. Mm. Just lie quietly. Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am?
The Indian patrol got away, you know.
Yes, ma'am, I know.
And that means that they got back to report our position.
Yes, Miss Colfax.
Then I expect that the lieutenant would want you to inspect the emplacements that the men have built.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
The curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Looking downstairs in the outer lobby only, please. Looking downstairs.
First nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act, and there goes the curtain.
Is that you, Sergeant?
Yes, it's me.
Everything's all right?
Seems to be. I had a bad time finding all the pickets in the dark. I've never seen it so black. Men's uneasy, too. How's Lieutenant?
Still the same. He does seem to be resting better. We just had a fire so I could see.
Yeah, can't risk no light, ma'am.
Poor darling, he's burning up with fever.
He stopped a bad one.
Can't we start taking him back to Fort Riley tonight?
Not a chance, ma'am. You wouldn't get 5 miles.
Sergeant, maybe this
now,
is...
Now, don't you worry none about the lieutenant, ma'am. We'll get through this thing.
But I am worried about all of us. While you were looking after the men, I was thinking that if the Indians really know where we are, we won't have much of a chance if they attack. Unless we do something like the element of surprise. Isn't that the way the Army puts it?
We can't go out after them. Our chances is better to stay here where we're holed up.
Sergeant, you know that grove down by the bend in the river?
Yes, about a mile from here.
We could go out after them, if you said. If the company was moved to that grove, and I stayed here with the lieutenant, and perhaps build a little fire for a decoy.
Bless me, ma'am. We could pounce on them while they was crossing the river, coming up the bank.
That's it. They'd think that we were still in this position.
But what if they don't come that way?
In that case, they still would see our fire.
Whoa, now. How about you and the lieutenant here all alone?
The company would still have the same odds, wouldn't they? In their new position in the other grove.
Sure, but
afraid. I can't give you an order, Sergeant, I know. But I could tell you that Lieutenant Singleton woke up long enough while you were gone to suggest to order this plan.
Yes, ma'am. You could tell me that, all right.
If I should tell you?
Well, I'd think that that the lieutenant knowed what he was doing.
You think the lieutenant really ordered this?
I know we're doing it, Dabs. And they've been mighty near got the whole company to this grove.
That fire she's got back there looks mighty tempting.
That's what it's aiming to do, tempt the Indians.
She comes pretty near being a good soldier herself, don't she, Sergeant?
This is the longest night I ever seen. Ain't them darn redskins never coming?
Starting to get a bit light over there in the east.
Yeah, I can just make out some of the men strung along the riverbank.
Sure. Listen, you hear that, Sergeant?
Sound like someone's in the river.
Oh, darling, it worked. It worked.
Wow.
Gordon, can you see?
What? What is it, Nancy?
Don't try to move. Let me hold you up. See, down by the river? The company has driven the Indians off.
How did they get down there? I thought I told Freely to camp here. It's getting dark again, Nancy.
That's it, darling. Sleep. Sleep.
So help me, sir, every word is gospel. Sure as you're laying in that bunk.
But, Freely, did I actually give the order to move up to the other grove? I can't remember doing it.
Of course, I didn't exactly hear them orders from your own lips, ma'am. Sir.
I think I'm beginning to understand a lot of things. Come in.
Hello there. And how's the patient?
Come right on in, Miss Colfax. He's doing right smart well. Another week and he'll be brand new. Well, I think maybe I've wore out my welcome. So long, Lieutenant. Miss Colfax.
Goodbye, Sergeant.
Bye, Freely. Nancy, you sweet, crazy, lovable...
Now, Lieutenant, is that any way to talk to a person who's under arrest?
Arrest?
Of course. Don't you remember? Back at the Grove, you ordered the sergeant to place me under arrest.
Oh, and that's one order I do remember. And one I'll never change. You're under arrest. For life, I hope.
I love it, every minute of it, darling.
Now, wait a minute. There's a catch. No more Indian fighting.
I promise.
No more stowing away in mess wagons.
I promise.
And no more of this foolishness until after I've had a kiss.
I promise. The element of surprise is a fine tactic, Lieutenant.
There it is. The final curtain comes down on the screen of the little theater off Times Square. The audience is on its feet applauding. Miss Lottie and Mr. Soleil are bowing in front of the footlights. The play is a hit. Did the first nighters like it? Listen to that applause. Next week, there's a special treat in store for you at the Little Theater off Times Square, if you like to laugh. Yes, it's a farce, a hilarious play that will amuse you no end. It's called There's Something in the Air. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station. And ladies, remember, you never know how pretty you can be until you try Magic Touch. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Is your cab, Mr. First Nighter?
Thank you. Good night.
Campana's First Nighter program, starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events. Play safe. Never scratch an irritated skin. It can cause serious infection. Use DDD Prescription, a cooling, soothing liquid that brings almost instant relief from the irritating discomfort caused by eczema, rash, hives. DDD Prescription is a doctor's formula, proved in use for over 50 years. Trial bottle, 35 cents.
The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The First Nighter program on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 4th of March, 1948 on CBS. The story penned by Vernon C. White, his only credit during radio's yesteryear, so far as I can turn up, or the movies, very much unlike Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy, who were the stars of the program, who appeared in nearly every broadcast of the show, Soule taking over for Les Tremaine from the earlier broadcasts of the 1940s. You're listening to an hour of drama on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for City Hospital. This episode marks the 29th for this CBS series, heard in the later 1940s.
City Hospital. City hospital, where life begins and ends, where around the clock, 24 hours a day, men and women are dedicated to the war against suffering and pain. Today's story begins late in the afternoon in City Hospital's emergency ward, as a young woman lying on an examining table says,
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Crane. You know where you are?
I guess a hospital. I remember an ambulance.
That's right. Now, you mustn't talk much. But is there anyone you'd like us to notify?
Yes. I think my husband.
Of course. What's his name?
Newcomb. Jim Newcomb. At Acme Printing.
We'll get in touch with him immediately, Mrs. Newcomb. And don't worry, you're going to be all right. Yes.
I'm Jim Newcomb.
Oh, hello.
Someone
there.
Called, told me my wife is... Oh, please, how is she? Is she badly hurt?
Well, there's a head injury, and we're going to have to operate to relieve the pressure.
Oh.
Now, don't look that way, Mr. Newcomb. There are no other real injuries, and she's young and strong. Would you like to see her?
Oh, please, yes.
Come
please.
With me. Now, don't excite her and just stay a moment. All right, Mr. Newcomb, you can go over to the bed.
Honey, it's gone.
Jim? Oh, Jim, I've been waiting for you.
For me, Lola?
So silly, darling. Ran the car off the road. Must have been dreaming at the wheel.
Don't try to talk, Mrs. Newcomb.
Not even to Jim? To my husband?
To nobody. Come along, Mr. Newcomb. That'll be all for now. Come on.
Yes.
Mr. Newcomb. Are you all right, Mr. Newcomb?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
No. Your wife's going to be all right.
But that's just it. She's not my wife.
What?
That's Lola, my sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law?
Yes. I'm married to her sister, Patty.
But she told me herself.
Oh, I don't care what she told you. She lives with us, and we're all very close, but... You said she had a head injury. Do you think that's what did it? Made her think somehow that...
Well, I don't know. Perhaps you'd better get your wife here.
Oh, yes, of course.
You can use the phone at the charge desk.
All right. Oh, this is awful. Bad enough to tell Patty that Lola's been hurt, but this other thing...
Do you have to tell her that right away?
Oh, no, you're right. I won't.
Hello?
Patty, it's Jim. I've got some bad news for you.
What? What do you mean, Jim?
It's Lola. She's been hurt in an auto accident. She's going to be all right.
What happened to her?
Well, she seems to have a head injury.
Where is she?
At City Hospital.
I'll be right over.
Please, Mrs. Newcomb, as your husband told you, we're quite sure your sister's going to be all right.
That's right, Patty.
Quite sure isn't enough. I want her to have the best attention she can get, Dr. Crane. I don't care how much it costs.
Well, Dr. Barnes is on our staff here. He's one of the finest neurosurgeons in the country.
I think I'll sit down.
Yes, of course. Mrs. Newcomb, I understand your sister lives with you. You must be very close, even for sisters.
Close isn't the word for it. You see, we're not just sisters. We've worked together, traveled together.
Really?
We were singers, Bobby's sisters. That's how we were billed. I gave up show business about a year ago when I married Jim. And Kitten, that's what I call her, decided not to go on alone. It would have been hard after being a team.
Yes, of course. Tell me, Miss Newcomb, was your sister upset about giving up show business? Did she mind living with you and your husband?
Of course not. Why should she?
Well, I don't know. I asked that because there's something we haven't told you yet. Something very strange.
What? What is it?
Your sister seems to think that it's she who's married.
You mean married to Jim?
That's right, honey.
But you said it wasn't serious, and if that's true, if her brain's been affected...
Well, we don't think it is, that it's anything physical.
Is she delirious?
No.
Well, then I don't understand. How could she possibly think that? That she was married to Jim. Oh, you must be mistaken. Or perhaps you misunderstood.
I don't think so, Mrs. Newcomb. But if you like, you can go in and see for yourself.
All right. I will.
But don't stay long, and don't excite her if you can help it. Look here, Mr. Newcomb. I'd like to ask you a blunt question, and I want an honest answer.
All right, Dr. Crane.
Mr. Newcomb, was there anything between you and your sister-in-law?
No, Dr. Crane, absolutely not. We're good friends, and that's all.
Then you don't think there's any possibility that she's taking advantage of the situation?
No.
Pretending to think she's your wife?
Why should she do that?
If she were jealous. To make trouble, to break up your marriage.
No, not a chance. Lola's a sweet, fine girl, and she's just as fond of Patty as Patty is of her. In some ways, even more so, because, well, she's kind of a dependent character. Needs somebody to take care of her.
Careful. Well, Mrs. Newcomb?
She said I should take care of you, Jim. She said you'd been married such a short time, you wouldn't know what to do without her.
See what we mean, Patty? What in the world are we going to do about it?
Well, there's only one thing to do, Jim. You have to play along with her.
Play along?
Jim, we can't tell her the truth now, not when her life's in danger. Tell him I'm right, Dr. Crane.
I'm not sure you are, Mrs. Newcomb. Not that it matters much, because Dr. Barnes plans to operate this afternoon, and then we'll see.
What difference does it make what she thinks, Jim, as long as she's all right, and she's got to be. She's got to.
They'll be taking her to the operating room in a few minutes, Mrs. Newcomb. And, Mr. Newcomb, she's asking to see her husband.
If you mean me...
Please, Jim.
Oh, I know how you feel, Mr. Newcomb, but at the moment we've got to give her all the support and encouragement we can. If it'll make it any easier for you, I'll go in with you.
All right, Dr. Crane, if you think I should.
Jim?
Hi, Lola.
You're not worrying, are you, darling?
Well, naturally, a little. But this doctor's a whiz, Lola. The best.
Jim, there's always a chance, you know. I mean, with any operation...
Oh, don't talk like that.
Oh, it's all right, Jim. I only want to make sure of something. Jim, you'll take care of Patty, won't you?
Yeah, I'll take care of her.
You see, she hasn't anybody but us.
Yeah.
Not anybody of her own, really. Because no matter how hard you try, having a sister isn't the same as having a husband.
Lola, you better not talk so much.
But I want to make sure you understand.
Well, I understand.
I try, and you try. But it's so hard for poor Patty, living in a house with two people who've just been married, who were so much in love.
Lola.
Feeling alone and more lonesome, surrounded by all that happiness. Oh, it would be different if she had something of her own, Jim. But oh, when I broke up the act, I took that away from her, too.
Look, Lola.
I know, Jim. I know you're as nice to her as you can be. But be specially nice to her now. Please.
Sure. Sure.
We have to prepare her now, Dr. Crane.
Yes, Miss Lewis. You'll have to leave now, Mr. Newcomb.
Yes, Dr. Crane. Lola, you're going to be all right. You hear that?
Yes, Jim. Yes, darling. I will be. I have to come back to you.
How is she today, Dr. Crane?
She's going to be all right, Mrs. Newcomb.
Oh, thank God.
In fact, she's doing remarkably well after only 48 hours.
Can we see her today? I'd love to talk to her and...
Just a second, Patty.
What is it, Jim?
What about this other situation? I can't go on putting on this act.
Oh, but...
No, Patty, it just won't do. I don't know why or where Lola got this idea, but...
Just a little while longer, Jim.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Newcomb, but I agree with your husband. You can't allow your sister to go on living in a fantasy, that is, if she still is. Not if you can bring her out of it.
But how can we do that?
I'm not sure yet, but I know a lot more about her now than I did. Mr. Newcomb, just before the operation, she kept talking about poor Patty. How Patty had nothing of her own, no husband, no career. How she knew Patty was unhappy.
Wait, you mean all the time she was talking about Patty, she was really talking about herself?
Exactly.
Are you suggesting that Lola's been unhappy? So unhappy that she went off into this dream?
Yes, I am, Mrs. Newcomb. I think she's been unhappy for quite a long time now. I think that even though she'd never admitted to you, or even to herself, she's always wanted what you had, and she doesn't have.
In other words, she wanted what Patty had so much that she became Patty.
That's right. The accident, apparently, opened the door, dazed her, weakened her, and together with the shock, brought down her defenses so she could no longer repress her desires.
Oh, my poor little kitten. I never realized. Dr. Crane, what can we do for her?
Well, with your permission, I'd like to feel her out. She's strong enough now to talk a little. And if the delusion still persists, but isn't too deep, we might be able to bring her back to reality.
All right, Dr. Crane. Do whatever you think best. But remember, I do love her. And I'd do anything for her. Anything at all.
I know that, Mrs. Newcomb. Hello, Lola.
Oh, Dr. Crane. I didn't expect to see you again today.
Now, you're not tired of me already, are you?
No, I've been wanting to thank you for taking such good care of me. Only up to now, you haven't given me a chance to talk.
Well, you mustn't overdo it even now.
I'll be good.
I just wondered if you were strong enough to see someone. Your sister's here, and Jim.
Oh, they've certainly been standing by, haven't they? I have a wonderful sister, Dr. Crane, and she certainly married a wonderful guy. And it's not every man who'd be so concerned about a sister-in-law. Did I say something wrong?
No, my dear, on the contrary. Just a second.
Oh, where are you going? To get Patty and Jim?
Yes, to get Patty and Jim. Mrs. Newcomb.
What happened, Dr. Crane?
About as much as we could possibly hope for. She knew who and what she was without any prompting on my part.
You mean she's back to normal?
Yes.
Oh, Jim, did you hear that?
Yes, darling.
All we have to do is wait a couple of weeks, take her home, and we'll never say a word about what happened.
Well, now, do you really think that's wise, Mrs. Newcomb?
Oh, why not? No matter what happened, how strange she was, we still want her with us.
Yes, but what about what she wants?
You mean, once we know about that, how she feels about things, we ought to do something to help her.
What do you suggest, Dr. Crane?
Go in to see her now, just for a short visit. Then come to my office and we'll talk it over. Good morning, Lola. How are you feeling today?
Better and better.
Well, you know, it's been 5 days since the operation. Are you starting to think about going home?
Anytime you say.
Tell me, Lola, do you like living with your sister and brother-in-law?
Oh, of course. I told you how wonderful they are to me.
All the same, don't you sometimes wish things were different? That you had a husband and a home of your own, too?
What? Of course not.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Because when you were first brought here to the hospital, you claimed it was you who was married to Jim.
I what?
Yes, you not only claimed you were, but you talked to Jim as if he actually were your husband.
I can't believe that. I'd never do such a thing. Why, I couldn't.
Couldn't you? Just a second. Mr. Newcomb, will you come in here for a moment?
Yes, Dr. Crane.
I want you to tell your sister-in-law something. How did she address you when she was first brought here?
Well, you talk to me as if we were married, Lola.
I don't believe it. Well, you're just saying that.
Why, Lola? Why should I lie about it?
I don't know.
All right, Mr. Newcomb, you can go now. Thank you.
How long did I...
Not for very long. Just until your operation.
But how could I do anything like that? Why?
It's quite simple, Lola. In the state you were in, you didn't have the strength to go on repressing what you really thought and felt.
But I don't want to be married to Jim.
Well, I'm not in love with him or anything like that.
Of course you're not. But he's a symbol to you, a symbol of your sister's full life, her happiness, of all the things that you unconsciously wanted.
I never wanted to take anything away from Patty.
No, of course you didn't. I'm sure you love your sister and would do anything for her. But it's perfectly natural to resent the fact that she has so much more than you.
But I didn't. I didn't.
Then why did you escape into this fantasy of being married to Jim?
I don't know. I don't know.
Be honest with me, Lola. Have you been happy living with them?
No. No, I've been miserable. Miserable.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. They were so happy, and the day of the accident, I was desperate. I wanted to get away from the house. And that's why I drove so fast without thinking what I was doing. But I didn't want to take anything from Patty.
Lola, everybody has selfish thoughts. And we all tried to hide them, even from ourselves.
But I'm glad Patty's happy. I'd do anything to make her happy.
Of course you would. But that doesn't mean you can't want a little happiness for yourself.
But you're saying I was jealous of Patty.
And that's nothing to be ashamed of either. We can't help being jealous sometimes, even of the people we love most. I remember when I was a young intern, my best friend was appointed to a very important position. And even while I was congratulating him, I was thinking, why didn't this happen to me?
But you were glad for him, too.
Very glad. But the point is, we can't help having selfish thoughts, Lola. We don't have to act on them. That's where our character comes in. But to protect oneself is an instinct, a perfectly natural instinct. Look in your heart, Lola. You're jealous of Patty, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, she's got so much, you see, and I have nothing of my own. Not even the act anymore. She took that away from me, too.
Exactly.
But what is there for me now, Dr. Crane?
You've taken a big step already, just admitting the truth. As for the next step, your sister has some ideas about that. I'll get her.
No, wait.
Don't you want to see her?
No, not yet. This once, I want to work things out for myself. Then I'll see Patty.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Newcomb. Why are you waiting out here?
Because, well, I gather she wants me to.
Your sister?
Yes. When I first got here this morning, I wanted to go in, but she sent out word she didn't want to see me, see anyone. Is she very angry at me?
Now, why should she be angry?
Because I didn't see how unhappy she was. I should have seen.
Oh, Mrs. Newcomb.
Oh, Miss Lewis. Well?
She'd like you to come in now.
Oh, wish me luck, Dr. Crane.
Just keep on caring for her and trying to understand, and you won't need luck, Mrs. Newcomb.
Hello, Lola.
Hi, Patty.
Oh, kitten, I've been so anxious to see you. There's so much I wanted to tell you, explain.
You don't have anything to explain, Patty. I'm the one. Oh, I hope you're not angry at me for saying what I did about Jim. It's not that I have any feeling for him, Patty. I mean,
I know that, Lola. Dr. Crane explained it to me. The thing is, what are we going to do from now on?
Yes, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Listen, Lola, I have a wonderful idea. I've been awfully bored sitting around the house, so look, why don't we get up the act again and go back on?
Oh, thanks, Patty. Thanks for offering to do that for me.
I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for myself. I'll get in touch with Harry Willoughby and tell him we want him to manage us again.
Patty, what's the matter?
Honestly, kitten, I'm looking forward to...
No, Patty, I think one of the troubles with me is that I've been too dependent on you.
Well, that's only natural, my little sister.
I'm not so little anymore, Patty. I'm a pretty big girl. And I think if I don't step out on my own, well, I'll never have anything of my own.
What do you want to do, then?
When you got married, Harry offered to take me on as a single.
Yes, but you'd have to work up a whole new approach and...
And what, Patty? Maybe be a big flop? That's what I was afraid of at the time. But after all, suppose I do fail. It won't kill me.
And I might even make a go of it.
Maybe you're right, kitten. But you'll let me help, won't you?
Oh, I wouldn't have the nerve to try it even now unless I thought you'd help me, Patty. But if and when I make it, if I make it, I'll really have something. Something of my own.
Of course you will, kitten. And, oh, I'm sorry.
About what?
Calling you kitten. I guess I ought to stop that.
Because I'm a big girl now? Win, lose, or draw, I'm still your sister, Patty. So you call me what you want.
Again next week at this same time for another presentation of City Hospital. City Hospital, where life begins and ends. Where around the clock, 24 hours a day, men and women are dedicated to the war against suffering and pain. This series of programs is produced and directed by Ira Ashley and features Melville Ruick as Dr. Crane. City Hospital has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
City Hospital, on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS broadcast from the late 1940s. And that wraps up this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levenier. Thanks for listening.